Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. Will Hermes is a writer and contributing editor for Rolling Stone, a frequent contributor to NPR's All Things Considered, and he joins us now for a wrap-up of 2017 in music. Will, welcome back to the Roundtable.
Good to be here, Sarah. Nice to see you.
It's good to see you, too. How was the year in music?
Well, it was...
Is that broad enough to start?
Yeah, it was a fantastic year for music. I mean, it was a very intense year for music, I think. I mean, there was a lot of intense joy and escapism in the form of people just wanting to kind of get away from what was really... It was a traumatic year. It was
yes.
a traumatic year for a lot of people in this country. And I think the music really reflected that. You might have expected that it would be a year with a lot of protest music. And there was music that spoke to, and we'll listen to some of it, that kind of spoke to political issues and social issues. But it was more about mourning in some ways. I don't want to be morose. I want this to be an upbeat morning of music. But you know, maybe we'll start dark and go towards the light.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, it was an unavoidable aspect, I think, of the ambitious music that was made this year. It was also kind of a kooky year. Like, there was a lot of people changing their stripes. Like, pop artists were making rock records. People really loved the Harry Styles record. That's a big pop star making an old-fashioned 70s singer-songwriter folk rock kind of record. And Keisha made a pretty wild rock record too. And at the same time, you had all these indie rock acts who were making pop records. Like St. Vincent worked with Jack Antonoff, the guy who produced Lorde and Taylor Swift. She made a great record. My favorite St. Vincent record, but it was very poppy. Beck, after his sort of folk rock morning phase record of a couple of years ago that won the Grammy for Best Record, he made a kind of glossy, cool pop record with Greg Kurstin, the guy who co-wrote the Adele song Hello. You might have heard of it.
I've heard it, yeah.
Yeah, it got a little bit of airplay ever since it came out. Probably the biggest song of the 21st century, if you had to quantify it. But the guy used to play keyboards in Beck's band. So Beck is like, hey, let's get together and like write some, you know, kind of glossy style pop songs, but make them Beck music.
Right.
And it was a great record. Some people didn't love it. Queens of the Stone Age were using synthesizers. Even Grizzly Bear and The National, who were real kind of like avant rock kind of artists, were, you know, really pushing synthesizers up in the mix. But we can touch on all these things as we go through the hour. I want to start dark and move towards the light. Seems like the way to go. And the darkest, the saddest song that I heard this year came from a record by a guy named Phil Elverum. He records under the moniker Mount Eerie, and he had a terrible tragedy happen in his life. His wife died. They had a kid.
They have a young daughter, yeah.
Yeah, and it... He was mourning, and he made this record about personal trauma that was absolutely unflinching. And the song I want to play is called Real Death, and it's about this kind of paradox of trying to make art out of intense personal pain and how it's kind of futile, but at the same time, the song sort of proves that it's not.
Death is real. Someone's there and then they're not. And it's not for singing about. It's not for making into art. When real death enters the house, all poetry is dumb. When I walk in to the emptiness instead. my knees fail. My brain fails. Words fail.
So that's a part of Real Death from the Mount Erie record, A Crow Looked at Me.
I want to play two more songs about death.
Okay.
Again, not being gratuitously sad, but examples of really outstanding songwriting, really some of the best pure songwriting, I think, that happened this year. The first is from Craig Finn, a guy who rock fans probably know from Hold Steady. He did his second solo album. The album's called We All Want the Same Things. The name of this song is called God in Chicago, and American Songwriter magazine has picked this as the best song of 2017. And some people in the Hudson Valley heard it performed for what I think might have been the first time in public, between the bookshelves and record racks of Rhino Records in Kingston earlier this year. Craig Finn did a little kind of private in-store show, and it was great. It begins with a death, but then it evolves in storytelling mode to other places, including Chicago.
Her mom found her brother, then she found the container wrapped up in a newspaper, stuffed in a duffel bag with hockey pads and $7,000 in rubber bands. We didn't speak at the service, but then later a message from a number that wasn't familiar said, "Hey, it's Charlie's sister. Would you do me a favor? There's unfinished business. It's roughly the size of a baseball. I said I wasn't totally sure, but yeah, I could probably call someone. I knew this kid from my dorm when I went to school in Wisconsin. My two semesters were a total disaster, and he was part of the problem. Hadn't talked in forever. But Wayne from Winnetka picked up on the first ring. I explained the situation. He said he'd be interested, but we'd have to come to him. We set lunchtime on Wednesday, a Mexican restaurant a mile north of Midway. He worked for his father's shipping company out west of the city. Right now I'm not working. She said we could split it. Just glad to be finished, not even tempted. But it's so goddamn sad in her house right now. He's still hearing everything. She just needs a break from it. Said she wants to come with. We left really early. Went from St. Paul to Cicero in my Chevrolet that didn't have any radio. Had a boombox in the back seat that was running out of batteries. Played 1999 at a Led Zeppelin 3. When the tape deck got all wobbly, she still sang the harmonies. The transaction was easy. My buddy looked similar, just a little bit heavier. And counting all the money in front of him seemed silly. This isn't the movies. It was over so quickly. Wayne got in his car, drove into the sunset, turned left onto Cermak. And she turned to me and said, "Never been to Chicago. I got nothing going on tomorrow. Maybe we could stay here tonight, lose ourselves in the glass and light. I've never been to Chicago."
God in Chicago from Craig Finn's solo album, second solo album, We All Want the Same Things.
And one more song for this triad of songs about death, from Jason Isbell. He's a guy who used to perform and write with the Drive-By Truckers. He's been putting solo records out for a while. He is, I would venture to say, if not the best songwriter in Nashville, he's one of the great songwriters in Nashville, and really one of the greatest American songwriters right now. His new album is called The Nashville Sound, and we're going to play a couple of songs from this during the course of this segment, but let's start with a song called If We Were Vampires, which is pondering that the fact of death might actually give meaning to everything that it is not.
It's not the long flowing dress that you're in, or the light coming off of your skin, the fragile heart you protected for so long, or the mercy in your sense of right and wrong. It's not your hand searching slow in the dark, or your nails leaving love's watermark. It's not the way you talk me off the roof, your questions like directions to the truth. It's knowing that this can't go on forever, likely one of us will have to spend some days alone. Maybe we'll get 40 years together, but one day I'll be gone, one day you'll be gone. If we were vampires and death was a joke, we'd go out on the sidewalk and smoke and laugh at all the lovers and their plans. I wouldn't feel the need to hold your hand. Maybe time running out is a gift. I'll work hard till the end of my shift and give you every second I can find. Hope it isn't me who's left behind. It's knowing that this can't go on forever, likely one of us will have to spend some days alone. Maybe we'll get 40 years together, one day I'll be gone, one day you'll be gone.
If we were vampires, Jason Isbell from the Nashville Sound.
If we were vampires and death was a joke, we'd go out on the sidewalk and smoke. It's one of the great couplets of this year.
All right. We are speaking with Will Hermes about the best music of 2017. We've ended your trilogy of death.
Yes. Let's move on. You know, one of the great music weeks I had this past year was going down to Nashville. And I was reporting a couple of stories for Rolling Stone about the songwriting community down there, also about the history of the Ryman Auditorium. It was an interesting year in Nashville because I continue to think that it's sort of a golden era of country music songwriting. It's also been a pretty intense year in terms of just American culture and listening to how the country music community has responded to that, or in some cases hasn't, has been pretty interesting. There have been issue-oriented songs, which have, you know, varied between great and not so great. There was also the shooting in Las Vegas, which nobody has really addressed directly in song, although Maren Morris released a song called "Dear Hate," which I thought was a beautiful song, and it had been written long before that, but it dealt with this issue of just how do you make sense of hatred in the world. Some people have spoken about gun control, but very, very, very few in the country music community. Faith Hill made probably the strongest statement. Tim McGraw, her husband, sort of echoed her. But country music isn't generally known as being super engaged politically. It's not known really as being a protest vehicle, with the exception of course, Johnny Cash, right, and Loretta Lynn and many other people who we have heard echoes of in songwriters this year, Jason Isbell and Margo Price, who we'll hear in just a minute. But I want to play a little bit of a song by a singer people probably don't know. She hasn't gotten too much of a high profile lately, Ashley McBride. But she had a great song that was kind of just a generic song of resilience and hope in the face of hard times, which I really liked. It's called A Little Dive Bar in Dahlonega.
To the backpacked first love leaver, the heart cracked double down dreamer, the homesick for grass that's greener and a slice of mama's peach pie. To the flat broke couch cushion gas money, the worker bee that ain't getting no honey, the missing someone all the while running, gunning for the brighter lights. Here's to the breakups that didn't break us, the breakdown wrong turn that takes you to a little dive bar in Dahlonega. Hear a song from a band that saves you, man. It's a hidden rock bottom, smoke them if you got them. Nothing's going right, making the best of the worst day kind of night.
Ashley McBride with A Little Dive Bar in Dahlonega.
One last song from the world of country music, nominally, that kind of spoke to the moment, I think. This year began with what is still astonishing to me, the biggest single-day protest in American history, and maybe in the history of the world. Like, if you, you know, extrapolate it to all the other countries that also had women's marches, it was an incredible, incredible moment. And there were echoes of that in music all through the year. The one that struck me particularly was from a really great album by Margo Price called All American Made. It speaks directly, I think, to rift between men and women in the workplace. It's called Pay Gap.
It's not that I'm asking for more than I'm owed, and I don't think I'm better than you. Say that we live in the land of the free, but sometimes that bell don't ring true. It's been that way with no equal pay, and I wanna know when it will be fixed. Women do work and get treated like slaves since 1776. Pay gap, pay gap. Don't give me that feminism crap. Pay gap, pay gap. Ripping my dollars in half.
Pay Gap by Margo Price from her album All American Made. We'll be back with more of the best music from 2017 with Will Hermes after this. Welcome back to the Roundtable. This morning we're joined by Will Hermes, a writer and contributing editor for Rolling Stone magazine, a frequent contributor to NPR's All Things Considered, and author of Love Goes to Buildings on Fire, 5 years in New York that changed music forever. He joins us this time every year to share his picks for the best music released in the last 12 months, and we continue speaking with him now.
Another great woman artist who made another great record this year was Cecile McLaurin-Salvant, who is a jazz singer. Some people say maybe the greatest living jazz singer right now. She's a powerhouse. She's still in her 20s. And she performed at the Bart Fisher Center earlier this month. Wonderful show, sold out, great booking. And her album this year was called Dreams and Daggers. Bob Dylan has been doing a Great American Songbook kind of revival, but Cecile McLaurin-Salvant does the same thing. She's been drawing from Irving Berlin and Cole Porter and all these, you know, great songwriters. But she's also really a great curator. Like, she always picks songs that are surprising and they're illuminating about the moment and issues. Kind of a throwaway song from sort of a fluffy movie. Do you remember Funny Girl?
Of course.
Yeah, with Barbara Streisand. Mm-hmm. The song is called If a Girl Isn't Pretty, but the way that it's sung, it really makes you focus on this jokey, quote-unquote, song and in the light of this year and the Women's March, it really makes you kind of reevaluate the values behind that kind of a jokey song without being preachy about it.
If a girl
isn't pretty, like a Miss Atlantic City. She should dump the stage and try another route. Any guy who pays a quarter for a seat just feels he ought to see a figure that his wife can't substitute. Frumpy faces that could cause you to have temporary nausea. Do I have to hear a lecture such as that? Kindly name a star who hasn't won a contest or a pageant. If she hasn't, she just never gets to bat.
If a Girl Isn't Pretty, from Dreams and Daggers, an album by Cecile McLaurin-Salvant.
You know, it's funny that rock music, which we generally associate with being, you know, loud and rebellious, was that in 2017. But I think the best rock records were really, like, pretty hushed. They were kind of introverted. You saw the same thing in R&B this year. The National made one of the year's best rock records, but it was, you know, it was very brooding and kind of stoned and sort of circling the wagons emotionally. They played two shows in Hudson at the Basilica that were filmed and drew media from around the world. There were people who came in for those shows, performed just before the album came out. And the record was also made in this region, not pretty much the Hudson Valley. It was a really moving record, and the song that gets my blood up in a good way is "The System Only Dreams in Total Darkness."
Maybe I listen more than you think, and I can tell that somebody sold you. We said we'd never let anyone in. We said we'd only die of lonely secrets. The system only dreams in total darkness. Why are you hiding from me? We're in a different kind of thing now. All night you're talking to God.
The National with "The System Only Dreams in Total Darkness" from their 2017 album Sleep Well Beast. We're speaking with Will Hermes about the best music of 2017. What's next?
Well, since we're talking about Hudson, let's listen to The Dirty Projectors, which is now just Dave Longstreth. He wrote a song about being up in Hudson, and it's called "Up in Hudson." I could talk a little bit more about it, but let's just hear it.
Now I'm listening to Kanye on the Taconic Parkway, riding fast. And you're out in Echo Park, blasting Tupac, drinking a fifth for my head. I'm just up in Hudson, bored and destructive, knowing that nothing lasts. 'Cause love will burn out. Yeah, love's gonna run, and love will just disappear.
That's The Dirty Projectors with "Up in Hudson."
Another example of a indie rock band making a record that really sounds like pop with the auto-tune vocals. And St. Vincent, as I mentioned before, made a really great record working with Jack Antonoff. A lot of it was really kind of like synthesizers, really glossy beats, and she did a great solo show at the King's Theater in Brooklyn, which was really like performance art. It was a multimedia kind of tour de force, just her and a guitar and films and projections and pre-recorded tracks that were really mixed together seamlessly with the live performance and her amazing guitar playing. Mm-hmm. And it really made me think about how there's been this usual critique of people, quote-unquote, lip-syncing, and how that is like, at least was, this unforgivable sin in pop music once upon a time.
Right, even though forever everyone
did have to do it, and now technology's catching up and they don't have to as much, but right.
Right, and in this case, she was actually making lip syncing part of the art, where like she would sing some lines and other lines would be pre-recorded, she would harmonize with herself, and it was really super, super interesting. She also did a great performance on Saturday Night Live of the song Slow Disco, which was an entirely different vibe from her show, with like a chamber orchestra, and it's one of the record's ballads, which I think are especially powerful, and they show an emotional side to her songwriting, which was always a little, I always really liked it, but it was always a little bit cooler in its demeanor, but her heart's a little bit more on her sleeve here. The song New York, I adore, but because of language, we can't really play the chorus. So let's listen to a song I also love, which is about a character who recurs in her music over the past few albums, somebody named Johnny. And this is a Happy Birthday, Johnny.
Remember one Christmas I gave you Jim Carroll? Intended it as a cautionary tale. You said you saw yourself inside there. Dark hid it like a tattoo manual. Remember one summer we walked in Times Square? I showed you the zombies with 100-inch stairs. You took a pic, set your hotel on fire. We took the blame, took the bags to the train. Happy birthday, Johnny, wherever you are. Happy birthday, Johnny, wherever you are.
Happy Birthday, Johnny by St. Vincent.
Let's listen to one more song that I really liked this year that you would probably call rock, by the group Big Thief. They're from Brooklyn, and they played a couple of shows here at BSP in Kingston this year, also at Solid Sound and Mass Mocha. Their record Capacity was fantastic, great lyrics. This is called Shark Smile.
She was a shark smile in a yellow van. She came around and I stole the glance in my youth. The vampire, Evelyn, shone quiet as roses stain. You came over me at a bedtime. But who wouldn't ride on a moonlit land? Let her in my eye, 85 down the road of a dead end blame. And she said,
Shark Smile by the band Big Thief from their 2017 album Capacity.
Yeah, great record. It was a great year in hip-hop and R&B. Hip-hop was kind of kooky and wild and playful and dirty, as it often is. But there were a lot of younger artists, Migos and Cardi B, with the staccato flow was really kind of dominating the style. Kendrick Lamar put out another amazing record. Vince Staples put out a very good record, too. Did some good work on singles as well, on the Gorillaz record. Frank Ocean, coming off of his last great record last year, had some great singles. Chanel being the standout. But you know, musically, it continues to be incredibly avant-garde. Also, musically, I think the most powerful R&B certainly was more introspective and sad rather than, you know, maybe triumphant or sexy. Although SZA made a really great record that was very sexy and funny, but you know, even that, there was no Beyonce, there was no Solange, but Moses Sumney, who is a young artist, and Sampha, who is a British artist that some folks might know from his cameo on a lot of different records, notably Don't Touch My Hair, Solange's single from last year. He has a remarkable voice. He's a an African, Anglo-African descent. His record was called Process, and we could play a number of different songs from it, but let's listen to the ballad, No One Knows Me Like the Piano.
No one knows me like the piano in my mother's home. You would show me I had something some people call a soul. Sky, oh, you arrived when I was 3 years old. No one knows me like the piano in my mother's home.
From Sumpha's album Process, that's No One Knows Me Like the Piano. We're speaking with Will Hermes about the best music of 2017. Where do we go now?
Moses Sumney made one of the other great R&B records this year, kind of an anti-love R&B record, which is really the inverse of what we come to expect from R&B crooners. This song kind of exemplifies it, and it's done both with vocal processing and without, or with very little. It's called Don't Bother Calling.
Down by the garden, I'll call you. Down by the garden, I'll call you. And that somebody, somebody would save for us. You need a solid, but I'm made of liquid trust.
Moses Sumney with the song Don't Bother Calling.
The production on that record is really, as I mentioned with a lot of records this year in the R&B and hip-hop realm, really pretty avant-garde. And there's a young woman based in Chicago, Indiana, Geralyn Patton, otherwise known as Jaylin. And she's an electronic music producer who's doing stuff that is... doesn't really use vocals, but it's some of the most interesting production, I think, in electronic music, and it's really steeped in kind of hip-hop and R&B oriented beats. Her album was called Black Origami and it turned up on a lot of best of lists. We can hear a little bit maybe from the end of this track, Never Created, Never Destroyed. Really interesting uses of a kind of blank space as well as really dense programmed beats.
Gingom,
Never Created, Never Destroyed from Jay Lynn's album Black Origami.
And I did promise that we were going to pull out into the light after going through the darkness of this year. We are coming to 2018, which I have just absolutely great optimistic feelings about. And there was music this year that really was uplifting. The new LCD Sound System record, although it was kind of a downbeat record for them, was still really celebratory, and they did a run of 10 shows in Brooklyn that were, I went with my little sister to the first one at Brooklyn Steel, and it was fantastic. And I want to play the title track from the album American Dream, which is about waking up from a bad dream into a bad dream, or a bad trip, as it were, but also kind of, you know, just steadying oneself and believing that it's going to be okay.
Wake up with somebody new, and that someone else's place. You took acid and looked in the
That's a little bit of American Dream by LCD Sound System.
And we heard from Jason Isbell at the beginning of the show. I really was wowed by his record, The Nashville Sound, which you could kind of put that title in double quotes, because his record is not being played on country music radio, but the songwriting is really outstanding. He's from Alabama. And of course, Alabama had quite a ride this year in 2017, but came out, I think, on the side of, on the right side, let's say.
Just barely.
The song Hope the High Road from Jason Isbell's record was a song that I went back to again and again this year, and never failed to make me feel optimistic. And so maybe we should end with that.
I used to think that this was my town. What a stupid thing to think. I hear you biting off a breakdown. I myself am on the brink. I used to want to be a real man. I don't know what that even means. Now I just want you in my arms again, and we can search each other's dreams. I know you're tired and you ain't sleeping well. Likely man as hell. But wherever you are, I hope the high road leads you home again. I heard enough of the white man's blues. I've sang enough about myself. So if you're looking for some bad news, you can find it somewhere else. Last year was the son of a bitch for nearly everyone we know. You up here on the road. I know you're tired and you ain't sleeping well. Uninspired, likely mad as hell. But wherever you are, I hope the high road leads you home again to the world you want to live in. We'll ride the ship down, don't be. Yeah.
Hope the High Road, Jason Isbell. That is all we have time for. That is the end of this year in music. Will, it is a true pleasure to have you be part of the program, and I thank you so much for your time and attention.
Anytime. It's always a pleasure to come up here and play some tunes with you, Sarah. Have a really great 2018.
Thanks, you too. Will Hermes is a writer and contributing editor for Rolling Stone, a frequent contributor to NPR's All Things Considered, and author of Love Goes to Buildings on Fire, 5 years in New York that changed music forever. His upcoming book is a biography of the late Lou Reed. To find the list of music shared this morning, visit WAMC.org/roundtable.